Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I was out of the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is May 10th, 2023, or it's the 21st day of Zif, 2027. We will start our first service today with a song.
Seeking deep in sin, found the peaceful shore. Every deep we stand within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard not his sturdy cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, oh, what? Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll pay. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul this song. Faithful love and service teaching him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, locked above, Yahshua completely saved. He will lift you by his love out of the angry wave. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me.
Entitled, The Year of His Redeeming, Viti Hala, Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 43, is May the 31st, 1947, Viti Hala. We're going to go now into our sermon, Year of His Redeeming, The Sign of the Day of the Vengeance, Isaiah 63, for the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. In this chapter we find recorded a prophetic conversation among three people: the prophet, the Yeshua, and a person living at the time that the prophecy of this chapter is fulfilled. Well, the subjects of the conversation are Edom, ancient Israel, the deliverance from Egypt, and the people's redemption, and the day that this scripture is fulfilled. For the part that should concern us most is to know the time. For the gaining of this information, I shall read from verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Yahshua, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting, Isaiah 63:16. For the words of the person speaking in the behalf of the people who are brought face to face with the revelation of this chapter reveal that he and his people are unknown unto Abraham. Since Abraham well knew of the rise of the ancient Israel, but understood practically nothing of the rise of the apostolic people in the New Testament. Men that the Christians must call them Christian. So he says, must be the people of whom he is ignorant. That means the apostolic people with Yahshua at the cross, even. For the truth, then, stands out clearly that the chapter finds its fulfillment in the untypical apostolic era. Now to find whether it is concerning of the early or the latter day apostolic believers, we shall read verses 18 and 19, also Isaiah 64:10-11, for the subject matter of the chapter 64 is but a continuation of the chapter 63. For the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. So that's the Catholic Church during the 1260-year prophecy of the Dark Ages, starting in 538 A.D. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name, Isaiah 63:18-19. For the holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with the fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Isaiah 64:10-11. Here is seen that the longing of the people is for the restoration of the temple. That's the longing of the people. That's what they would dream about over in Jerusalem today in 2023. And for the repossession of the promised land. Now the fact that the temple and the land are still in the hands of the Arabs and unbelieving Jews, those who were never called by his name, never called apostolic believers, is proof positive that chapter 63 and 64 are fulfilled in the latter part of the apostolic era, the part in which the time of the Gentiles and the promised land is fulfilled. Moreover, that these chapters are now unveiled unto us, and also the fact that the message for today has caused us to cry unto the Yahshua for just such a deliverance. And Yahshua is the Son, is indeed the one that delivers by his blood. And he stands up to deliver the saints, Daniel 12:1. The facts are that the time for the fulfillment of the prophecy there is in these chapters is already here, since you now positively know that these chapters are concerning you and me, we are ready to start the study of the chapters verse by verse. Isaiah 63:1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with a dyed garment, from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in the righteousness mighty to save. In the vision the prophet saw someone with a blood-stained garment, hastily returning from Edom and Bozrah. For the prophet's question, who is this that cometh from the Edom with the dyed garments from Bozrah? Came the answer, I that speak in the righteousness mighty to save. That would be Yahshua the Son. Who else could this person be but the Yahshua, himself the Savior of the world by his blood, the mighty one to save? Again, the prophet asked, Isaiah 63:2, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? For the answer unto these questions introduces a series of the solemn events, the events recorded in Isaiah 63:3-5. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of the vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. For this prophecy met its fulfillment, starting at the Passover 2002, the term of Texas, with Brother Johnson, being the ancient man before the house. That's 1 Peter 4:17, says judgment must first begin at the ancient man before the house. And Ezekiel 9:6 says the calls it the ancient man. For the statements, I have trodden the winepress alone, I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. All in the past tense shows the Savior's zeal and determination for the saving of his misled people. At his first advent, though there was no one with him to help, that is, all the priests and religious leaders, the general conference of his day, the Sanhedrin, were against him instead of helping him in his work. But the statements, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of the vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. All in the future tense show the present church's condition, not only equally as bad as at the first coming, but even much worse. Now, how true that history repeats as the day of the vengeance approaches. Those who are supposed to uphold and help in the work of the redemption, the ministers and religious leaders, the antitypical Sanhedrin of today, the general conference, are seen to be hindering, standing in his way of reaching the people. Thus they incur his displeasure, and necessarily he girds himself to free his people from the hands of the unfaithful shepherds, and that would be starting with Ted Wilson, the president of the General Conference of Associated Adventists, and a typical Sanhedrin. They cause him to stain his garments with their blood as he tramples them in his fury. Isaiah 63:6, and I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. For the serious brief explanation of the situation is amplified by the prophet Ezekiel. Says he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, and caused them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man his slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with the linen, with a writer's ink horn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Yahweh of the Israel was gone up from the church. Whereupon he rushed unto the threshold of the house. And he called unto the man clothed with the linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. And the Yahshua said unto him, go through. No, Yahweh, I guess. Yahweh said unto him, go to the midst of the city, to the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark. Yahweh talking to his son Yahshua to set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of. And unto the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is a mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house, Ezekiel 9:1-6. For Ezekiel's prophecy plainly revealed that this cleansing work takes place in the church in Jerusalem in the time that he separates the unfaithful from among the faithful, the time to destroy the terrors, Matthew 13:30, for the casting out of the bad fish, Matthew 13:47-49, for the purifying of the church, the testimony, Volume 5, page 80, for the purifying of the ministry, Malachi 3:1-3, for the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. The judgment work for the living. The spirit of the prophecy in our day has this to say, that the days of the purification of the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, are hastening on apace. For the Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and a mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able for the measuring of the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest, that his fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Here we see that the Seventh-day Adventist church, as the Yahshua's sanctuary, was the first to fear the stroke of the wrath of the Yahweh, and that was Gilead Center, started the third feeding pasture for the Adventists in 1970-2003. Rose Johnson as the prophet. It all started there. The judgment started there. The ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh had given great light, and Rose Johnson had the greatest light of any Adventist minister ever was, because he was given the astronomical calculation of the sun, the moon, the stars, and the heaven to calculate how to create a creation calendar, putting Yahweh's people back on true time. For the ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh had given great light, and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people had betrayed their trust. They had taken the position that we need not look for the miracles and the marked manifestation of Yahweh's power as in the former days. Times have changed. These words strengthened their unbelief, and they said, "For Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful for the visiting of his people and the judgment." Thus peace and safety is the cry from the men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet for the showing of Yahweh's people of their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. For these dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. For the men, maiden, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80 and page 211. And the Apostle Peter adds, "For the time has come of judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. If it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the plan of the salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant?" I'll put all that in the place of the word gospel, the gospel of the Yahweh. "And if the righteous scarcely," and that's in Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, the whole 10th chapter of Hebrews, matter of fact, and Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear?" 1 Peter 4:17-18. Since Yahweh's people of today are not in the land of Edom, south of the Palestine, but are scattered throughout the earth, and since Yahshua is to slay their enemies in order to free them, the truth is obvious. These are the antipodal Edom and Bozrah. After Esau of old sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, he was called Edom. And the name Bozrah means a shepherd. Plainly then, the Edomites of the Isaiah 63:1 are those who in our day have sold their birthright and who at the same time are persecuting, as did Esau persecute Jacob, those who have bought it, so to speak. Thus it is that as Yahweh's people had to be delivered from the Sanhedrin in Yahshua's day, they must now be delivered from the General Conference, the antitypical Edomite brethren, in order to be led into all of the truth and into the Father's land. For the words, "The year of my redeem is come, and the day of the vengeance is in mine heart," clearly says that the Yahshua's strange work in Edom and Bozrah is the day of the vengeance, and a sign of the antitypical Israel, the church purified, returning to the homeland. Isaiah 63:7-10. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Yahshua and the praises of the Yahshua, according to all that the Yahshua has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according unto his mercy, and according unto the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he says, "Surely they are my people, children that will not lie." So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. And his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old. But he rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. For the testimony of the person reveals that a complete transformation has taken place in him, that he has called a vision of the Yahshua's goodness, of his long-suffering, and of his tender mercies. He is convinced that the Yahshua will not acquit the guilty. From his testimony, he also, or is also, seeing that the Yahshua is not a cruel, brutish person seeking to kill and to destroy, but that he is kind and merciful, patient and just, that he is worthy to be praised. This person endeavors to prove this unto others by calling attention unto the Yahshua's dealings with his ancient people, showing that he bore long with them, that only for their own good did he punish them to bring them back unto him and away from the idolatry and eternal ruin. Moreover, the scripture plainly shows that the need of the deliverance today is similar unto that of the Moses' day. Isaiah 63:11-15. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, "Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock?" And Yahshua, the Son, is the shepherd of his flock. "Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him and led them by the right hand of the Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble as a beast goeth down into the valley? The Spirit of Yahshua caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy vows and of thy mercy toward me? Are they restrained?" Since there is in the prophecy a cry for a similar deliverance, as was seen in the Moses time, the facts are obvious. The church has been led into the bondage and now needs to be delivered. Okay, who's the, what led them into bondage? Adventist Church. The Catholic Church. They went to sleep. The leaders of the Adventist Church went to sleep, and the Catholic Jesuits come in and invaded through our schools and so forth, and they grew up in our schools and churches, and they was ordained as ministers and teachers and presidents of the General Conference and so forth. That's how they got in there. Years ago, inspiration forewarned. The Adventist Church has turned back from following the Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of the spiritual power. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimony of the Spirit of the Yahweh is living in our churches everywhere. For Satan may have it that ministers who preach self instead of Yahshua would have it thus, for the testimonies are unread and unappreciated. For Yahweh has spoken unto you, light has been shining from His Word and from the testimony. And both have been slighted and disregarded. For the result is apparent in the lack of the purity and devotion and earnest faith among us, Testimonies 1 and 5, 21:7. Isaiah 63:16-17, doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Yahweh, art our father. Thou, O Yahshua, art our father, because Yahshua has inherited his people, Israel, by his blood, so they call him their father. They call him our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting, O Yahshua. Why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. I think it should read, return for thy servant's sake with the tribes of thine inheritance. For the people that are crying for the deliverance are those whom the Abraham did not know, and who Israel of today, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, does not acknowledge. That is, as pointed out at the beginning of our study, Abraham was ignorant of the apostolic, both the type and antitype, starting with Yahshua and the apostles at the cross, and the people that cry out for the deliverance at the fulfillment of the prophecy are not by the antitypical Israel. The Seventh-day Adventist denomination acknowledged as a church. Thus it is that though Abraham of old does not know us, and though the Seventh-day Adventist denomination does not acknowledge us, yet we know that Yahweh has given us a message, the shepherd's rod, and that a change has taken place in us, that we are no longer satisfied, lukewarm, and that we are no longer unconscious of our latest sin, wretchedness, misery, and poverty, blindness, and nakedness. We know that this is the work of the Yahweh in our hearts, that we are truly being born again, born through the Holy Spirit, that we are now better Seventh-day Adventists than we were before. We can therefore with the confidence say, doubtless thou art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is Yahshua is everlasting, though we are constantly and sarcastically told by our General Conference brethren, no, you are not Seventh-day Adventist. Well, the thing is, the General Conference brethren are Jesuit Catholics. They're not Adventists either. Isaiah 63:18-19. For the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. True. Our ancestors were in the land and enjoyed the sanctuary service for a number of years, yet considering that they were to possess it forever, then the statement, for the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while, is altogether true. Arabs and unconverted Jews who now possess the land are not apostolics. They are not called by the Yahshua's name, which is the Yahshua or righteousness, Jeremiah 23:5, and never have been, Isaiah 63:17. O Yahshua, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and harden our heart from thy fear. Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. Here is one who recognizes that the people of Yahweh are in error, not following Yahweh's ways, and that they do not fear him. For the messengers, he is therefore for Yahweh to return unto them, not to forsake them forever. The prayer of chapter 63 continues throughout the chapter 64 and gives a good example as to what our prayer should be about at this very time. And let us read it through. Isaiah 64, 1-12. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, for the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known unto thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for. Thou camest down, and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, man hath not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, for the Yahweh be beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoices and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee and thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is continuous, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquity. That's talking about the Adventist Church, 1844, clear on to 2002. But now, O Yeshua, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Be not wroth be not wroth very sore, O Yeshua, neither remember the iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with the fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Yahshua? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Now is our opportunity. Now is our privilege for the making of this prayer personally our own. Now we can intelligently say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Now we can wholeheartedly explain, how shall we sing the Yahshua song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let thy right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let thy tongue cleave unto the roof of thy mouth. My mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Yahshua, the children of Edom, and the day of the Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Psalms 137, verses 4-7. Now that you plainly see the signs and the times of our redemption and of the day of Yahshua's vengeance against the unrepentant sinners, fast approaching, you are urged to make ready, to sigh and cry against the abominations, to receive the mark of the deliverance, to be among the first fruits. Now you can happily and understandingly seek the kingdom of the heaven and its righteousness, and assuredly know that the material things of the life should not predominate over the spiritual, and they shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:25-34. Heaven, therefore, expects you without delay to definitely and openly take your stand on the side of the truth, now that the year of his redeemer is come, that the signs of the day of the vengeance are here. Now is the opportune moment for the making of your decision. You cannot afford to procrastinate, for says the Spirit of all truth. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and the day of the temptation and the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, approved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was agreed with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of the unbelief, and the departing from the living Yahweh, the living Yahshua, our Father, here that has redeemed us by his blood, that exhort one another daily while it is called today. Not yesterday, and not the day of Miller, or of what, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of the Yahshua, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Father just said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by the Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that have sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and unto whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 3:7-19. Things that have changed before and after the earth is made new, we're going to go into text of address by V.T. Hall of June 7th, 1947. We are to study the 65th chapter of Isaiah. As we study, we shall see that it bears record of things that take place in the period before the earth is made new, and in the period after it is made new. We shall begin our study with the first verse. Isaiah 65:1, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. For the Paul's writing unto the Romans applies this verse, for the Gentiles coming into the kingdom of Yahshua's kingdom with the gospel, Romans 10:20, and Yahshua's kingdom, the Son, it means by His blood, that's the only way they can come into the kingdom is through His blood. They have to repent. They have to be bad, repent for remission of sins, and then accept the blood and be obedient to all of His commandments, statutes, and judgments for the applying of His blood, or as applied at those appointed times, on those sacred feast days and at the sacred hour. They are therefore those who sought the Yahshua without asking for Him, and those who found Him without seeking after Him. This condition, laden with the result, points out that the Yahshua is easily found. Isaiah 65:2, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. Here is a great contrast between the well-informed and the things of the Yahweh and the ignorant Gentile. While the former are pulling away, although Yahshua is tearfully pleading with them, the latter are drawing nigh unto Him. Here we see how patient Yahweh is, for He continues to spread on, to feed on and on. It is hard for Him to give up a sinner before all possible means to save our exhaustion. Here is clearly seen that it is easier to save a heathen than it is to save a well-satisfied, deluded, Isaiah 65:3. A person that provokes me to anger continues in my faith, that sacrifices in the gardens and burneth incense upon the altars of brick. To sacrifice in the gardens is to make a display of the religion, and altars of the brick as the product of man, not of the Yahweh's creation, as is with the stone, are the works of men. For the Cain offered an undesirable sacrifice, but the people brought into the view of his scriptural offer on an undesirable altar. The one is as bad as the other. And what should altars of the brick be, if not places of the worship which Yahweh Himself has not commanded to be built, Isaiah 65:4, which remaineth among the graves and lodged in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of the abominable things, is in their vessel. To remain among the graves is to be denied of having a part in the resurrection of the saints. And to lodge in the monuments is to live in a so-called exalted cliff of life, dead to the Yahweh and alive unto the world. For the Jews were quite careful of what they ate, but here is a forecast of a people whose appetites are as loose as were the Adams and Eve while partaking of the forbidden fruit. Although we as a people profess to be strict in the keeping of the unclean meats away from our tables, this scripture nevertheless unveils a shameful truth. It makes known that many are indulging in these abominable things, and one part of the world, perhaps, they indulge in one abomination, and in another part of the world, they indulge in another abomination. Isaiah 65:5, which says, "Stand by thyself. Come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. On the one hand, they are as churlish as they can be, eating anything and everything, clean and unclean alike. And in the other hand, they have a high opinion of themselves. They think themselves holier than any others. Plainly, then, those who indulge in the abominations," which verse 4 talks about, are the very ones who protest against having communion with those who try to live a life consistent with their profession. Fearing that the Reformation might take place, satanic indeed, for the Yahweh hates hypocrites more than he hates any other kind of sinners. Those who are thus pushed to the right and to the left see the perfect fulfillment of this scripture at this very time. "Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but will recompense unto their bosom your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith Yahshua, which have burned incense upon the mountain and blaspheme me upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work unto their bosom." Verse 6 makes no comment, but a sentence on verse 7 will suffice. "For the Pharisees of yesterday and the Pharisees of today, so to speak, we see are to receive the similar rewards." Isaiah 65:8-9. "Thus saith Yahshua, as the new wine is found in the cluster is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the new wine, it would be your 144,000, the purified part that comes out of the Adventist Church, at the first fruits harvest, and the harvest time. Destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob." That would be the seed of David, and typical seed of David, "and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains." My mountains? Okay. What mountains? Those seven heads that represent seven mountains there in Revelation, and they have seven names: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, which is the Adventist Church. "And mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. For the seed of Jacob, the inheritor out of Judah, is Yahshua, the elect, his servant, are those who escape the destruction here mentioned. They are to be a blessing unto others. Symbolically speaking, the mountains are the kingdoms of Judah and Israel gathered together, as also foretold in Ezekiel 37:16-28. But if taken literally, the mountains are those in the promised land. The phrase, "mine elect shall inherit it," changes the object from the plural mountains to the singular it, And it makes the symbolism carry both thoughts, the kingdom and the location of it. The verse that follows verifies this very thought, Isaiah 65:10. And Sharon shall be a field of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. Verses 9 and 10 carry us from the Jewish spirit and to the Christian era, that's in the New Testament time, then down unto the restoration and consolidation of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel, the ten tribes, in the land of our fathers, Sharon and Achor. Isaiah 65:11. But ye are they that forsake the Yeshua, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Those who are to be destroyed are those who do not particularly care for his holy mountain, for the kingdom of the David, every antithetical kingdom of David, Daniel 2:44-45, which is the same thing as a kingdom of heaven mentioned in these scriptures. They are those who prepare a table, or who assemble passages of scripture taken out of their city, and with them they feed, teach the group, or the troop, that is of the same as themselves. To furnish the drink offering is as much as to say that the troop is drinking in whatever their teachers put out. Isaiah 65:12. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the sword. Because when I call, you did not answer. When I speak, you did not hear. That did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I dwelleth not. I delighteth not. To this call of the Yahweh, they do not answer, neither do they hear him speaking, for they are inclined to do evil. They delight in their own ways, and hate the Yeshua. Of this sin they are possibly not conscious. Isaiah 65:13-15. Therefore, thus saith the Yeshua, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for the joy of heart, but ye shall cry for the sorrow of heart, and shall howl for the vexation of the spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Yeshua shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. These evildoers may not now give even a thought to this solemn warning, but as sure as day is followed by the night, just that sure, they won't shame, sorrow, and calamity are soon to come. For the denominational name will they leave unto Yahweh's servants, that is, to those who escape from the Yeshua's sword, shall the name consequently be left. The name, however, is left only as a curse, and his servants will be called by another name, which the mouth of the Yeshua shall name. Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Yahweh of the truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the Yahweh of the truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. In this verse it is implied that the Yeshua is taking this strange action because his unfaithful servants have not been blessing themselves in the Yahweh of the truth. consequently, they must have been blessing themselves and the god of the falsehood, that's Satan. That is, they have been teaching, approving, and spreading falsehood, while the Yahshua is endeavoring to bless all his servants with the truth, fresh from his throne. Under those who embrace his truth for this time, he will never bring up their past. Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come in late into mind. Here we are brought down to the time that the Yahshua finally renews the heaven and the earth. Isaiah 65:18. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I will create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of a crying. Isaiah 65:11. But ye are they that forsake the Yahshua, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Those who are to be destroyed are those who do not particularly serve for his holy mountain. Now this brings in verse 56, contact us at the 11th hour, call us number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message and more. And it's closed now with a song. Take the name of Yahshua with you.
Take the name of Yahshua with you. Out of sorrow and of woe, it builds joy and comfort give you. Take it anywhere you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Yahshua heaven. As a shield from every snare, if temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name and prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Yahshua, how it thrills our soul with joy when his loving heart receiveth and his sons are tongues and God. Precious name, O Husky, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, O Husky, hope of earth.